Jess, thank you so much for joining us on Carve today.
No problem. Great to be here.
So you have designed a series of three Instagram filters for Prototypes online exhibition. What ideas are you exploring here?
So what I'm looking at through these filters is imagining a future environment of an underwater life. In an acidic ocean warmed by climate change, which is even more different to now. So it's quite a fantastical, futuristic world, contains a lot of bubbles and refracted lights and sounds and different sorts of animals. The idea is to sort of create an immersive sort of sensory experience for people.
And the work, as you said, touches on two themes in particular, which is climate change and the Anthropocene. How do you think audiences will react to this?
So I guess the reason why I like working with Instagram filters is because you don't ever really know exactly how people are going to interact with it or react to it. And I guess the cool thing is that people will actually record themselves using it and then share that, and then I'll get to see how that plays out. I think for me, in terms of the sorts of themes and aesthetic that I go for in my work, I go for quite a surreal kind of an experience. And I think the interesting thing for me is that that can either go in two ways. It can either be surreal, funny, or surreal, creepy, sort of scary. So I feel like the sort of humor and then fear are sort of almost two sides of the same coin. And I guess I'm hoping that people will react to that in the filters in some way.
Yeah, for sure. And why do you think social media filters are so popular within online spaces?
People love to look at themselves and record themselves, but I think from a creative perspective, I think it's a really exciting medium, because even though it is locked to a specific social media platform, the ways that augmented reality experiences can be shared, the potential is just huge on social media. So previously I'd been building my own apps and sharing them in art gallery spaces and things like that. And I would be lucky if I had 100 people download and use that app. Whereas when I put filters online, I think my filters combined have been viewed 24 million times.
Wow.
And it's just because, and I think that it's not just about the numbers, but I think that what it does tell you is that it's not just reaching traditional art audiences, it's actually going outside that and reaching people who may live in a more remote area, aren't able to visit art galleries, or don't enjoy visiting art galleries and don't feel like they're part of the art world. So that's why that's interesting to me.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess tapping into digital art and how, you know, it's become more and more accessible, but also with the rise of NFTs, which is non-fungible tokens for our listeners. Why do you think public digital art is so important with these new advances?
Well, I think especially because we're in the time of COVID at the moment, I think that just having art that is a lot more shareable and accessible by digital means is the way forward at the moment. I think that, there are so many restrictions on what places that people can go and places that people can visit. I think that that's the reason really for the rise in popularity of NFTs and things like AR, especially mobile AR and mobile-based experiences.
Yeah, and for our audiences that might not know what AR is, how do we break that down?
So AR stands for augmented reality. What you could think of it is like it's a view of the real world as taken through a phone camera, and then different sorts of digital objects are placed in real time in the real world.
Yeah, that's a great explanation. And when I viewed your work, I noticed a purple creature on my neck. What is this creature representing?
Was that in one of the prototype filters you're talking about?
Yeah.
So that one is a tardigrade. It's not to scale. It's quite a lot bigger than it usually is, obviously. But I guess I was interested in the tardigrade, and the sort of animals I've chosen are the ones that can withstand really harsh environments. Mm. So I guess I was sort of interested in, well, you know, in the event that the climate, you know, does change even more than it is changing now, and it, you know, as everything escalates, you know, and we're living quite differently, what sorts of life forms might be left? What will that be like? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and the filter's like so incredible, but it's also so flattering, which is a like a lot of Instagram filters. Why did you choose this sort of aesthetic, like this glossy?
I guess I was sort of interested in this sort of fake glossy aesthetic, right, to sort of represent the future, I guess, and futuristic sort of a futuristic sort of look. I think as well, it's interesting to get people to play with an experience where they do look, you know, maybe aesthetically pleasing, but it is sort of about quite difficult, sort of almost horror-esque catastrophic themes. Mm. I think it's like playing on an interesting sort of knife edge there.
Yeah, I love it. And Jess, you are also a PhD visual neuroscience candidate. What are you researching at the moment?
So in my PhD, I look at how we view different sorts of what's called image textures. So like the surfaces of objects, basically. And I look at how we perceive those in healthy, normal people, and then also in people with different sorts of neurodegenerative diseases. Yeah.
Wow, that's so incredible. So which came first, science or art?
Art came first, actually. So wow. I did my visual art degree. I think I finished it back in 2008 or something at the ANU School of Art. Mm. And then I went and lived in London for a while, 4 years or so. And I was working in a web design studio, and I was exhibiting a little bit in London. And I just wanted to sort of expand my interests, I suppose. And so I ended up doing some online degrees and studying science and philosophy online. And then I moved back to Australia to do my neuroscience master's and my neuroscience PhD. And I've specialised in visual neuroscience basically the whole way, because I've always been interested in why we like certain things and what we like about them, and really what's going on in our brains when we look at art.
Mm. Yeah, fantastic. And that kind of carries into my next question, which is that I read that you recently worked with Sephora France. Please tell us more about that collaboration.
Yeah, that was really fun. So Sephora France were wanting to launch perfumes, like a new series of perfumes during COVID. And they had the problem that no one could actually visit a shop and try these perfumes on. Mm. So they contacted me and were interested in what I do. And so what we did is we worked together to creatively apply sensory science research. So we looked at the different ingredients of the perfume and looked at taste and smell research, and how we could visually best apply that to an AR filter so that it could be a fun sort of playful experience where people can imagine physically trying on a perfume, even though it's not really there, and get something that might be similar to what it's like in real life.
Wow, that's so clever. I love it. I wish I'd experienced that. And finally, bit of a big ballpark question, but what do you think the future of AR is going?
there's a couple of things. So I think that what's next is collaborative experiences in AR, which I'm really looking forward to. So something that's sort of almost like a multiplayer game, but it's more about, you know, two or more people experiencing the same digital object at the same time. So at the moment you'll have, you know, everyone will be having their own individual experiences on their own phones of like replicas of the same object. But once you can sit down and both take a bite of the same digital cake or something like that, I think that's when things are going to be really interesting. I think the other thing is that the internet in general and digital experience is moving towards this idea of a sensory internet. So instead of focusing on what we do at the moment, which is the Internet of Things, it'll move towards the Internet of Senses. So at the moment, we're very limited to audio and visual stuff only on the internet. But there's, you know, people working hard to develop a way that in the next 10 years or so, we might be able to have a scent experience or a taste experience or a touch experience digitally.
Oh my God, sign me up.
Yeah.
Sounds incredible. Jess, it's been great speaking with you today. Thank you so much for joining us on Carve.
Thank you. It's been lovely.